I was born into a segregated society. But at that time, I accepted a segregated society because that's all I knew. But after I got married and we started trying to make a living as a family, I found out that we just kept running into barriers of segregation, and we just could not make the kind of living that other young people, white people, were making. And every time we'd start to try to rise up, somebody was always trying to put us back down in our place.
What is the position of the U.S. government in Dixie, USA? Yes, the same U.S. government that has appointed itself to safeguard the universal rights of man and to make the world safe for democracy. What is its position on defending the rights of black people within the confines of its own borders?
I didn't realize in the very beginning that what was happening to us was wrong, because I didn't know all of the implications of segregation. I knew there was a danger because my stepfather had a pearl handled pistol that he kept under his pillow, and it was my job to make up his bed every morning. So I would go and get the pearl handled pistol and put it in the linen closet every morning. I found out in hearing the older people talk, they told me to handle it, but don't ever shoot it or, you know, put my fingers on the trigger. But I found out hearing the older people talk that that gun was there because there was a threat to our lives, that possibly some night riders might come and try to do something to us in the middle of the night. So I knew that there was a danger.
As long as the Afro-American relies on passive resistance, he can expect no protection from the racist U.S. government. Washington is never upset over the flow of Negro blood. This is the key to the question of why Afro-Americans have never been able to get an anti-lynch law passed. The fact of the matter is that Mr. Charlie never needed one.
We lived in a section of town called Quality Hill, and we had to walk about 3 miles through the white neighborhood, through the downtown Monroe area, in order to get to our school. And there was a school about 3 blocks from us. There was a white school. I never thought that I should go to it. I didn't mind walking with my black friends through the white neighborhood, through the downtown area, over across town to the segregated school. After I got married, after I had met Robert Williams, whose grandparents came out of slavery literate, and whose grandmother had taught him that he should stand up like a man, like anybody else. And I never heard these kinds of arguments in my neck of the woods, you know, because my parents were always telling us, this is the law, you abide by the law, you keep a low profile and don't make the white folks angry, because they were afraid that we would get killed. When I met Robert and we started raising a family, I realized right away that I was in a different situation. Robert was always listening to the news, and he'd talk about current events and what was going on in the world.
100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, and 9 years after the Supreme Court decision of May 17th, Afro-Americans of Birmingham and racist Dixie are experiencing the wrath of slave masters equaled only to those of South Africa.